Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate, a podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Kamboukos.
Welcome, everybody. Luckily today for all of us, we do not have the pleasure of hosting Peter Kamboukos with us. We are off the ropes. The chains are been unleashed. There is no one here to hold us back. Am I right?
There's a new guy in town.
There is a new guy, the better and improved Peter Kamboukos, looking real good today. Welcome, everybody. JD Doolin. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing good. We got an exciting podcast today to share with everybody. Those of you guys looking forward to hearing Pete's beautiful voice, turn off the podcast. Go somewhere else. He's not here today.
He'll be back next week.
Yeah, probably next week. We'll see. He might just like where he's at. He's sitting over there right now on the beach in California, living it up, 70-degree weather, while we're either getting dumped on here in Arizona or it's 115 and humid. So I don't really know what the old benefit of that is. But while he's gone, I wanted to take the pleasure of being able to have one of our partners, JD. He's one of our partner lenders for the KP Lead team with Fairway Mortgage. I wanted to bring him in and just chat about what's going on overall in a different perspective of the real estate business, and that's the lending field, right? And so there is so much that is unseen. And as real estate agents and a lot of our listeners and our viewers, they see a lot of the real estate perspective of things. They see a lot of that side of the business, but they don't necessarily get to see the ins and outs and the inner workings of what the prospective lending side of the business looks like. And so how about we just start out with you sharing a little bit about yourself, how you came to where you're at now, a little brief background of you, JD.
Absolutely. So grew up in Kentucky, moved out here in 1995, got into the mortgage business in 1999, actually started running a call center for a large mortgage company that did both servicing and producing of wholesale and retail business. I knew I didn't want to run a call center forever, but I got fascinated with the mortgage business pretty early on. So the company that I worked with was big about hiring people internally. And I kind of just looked at the job postings and worked my way up the ladder. So I've done assumptions, special arms, post-closing. I was an accountant for the CFO. Then I decided to get in the production part of the business. Started out as a funder, was a processor, a coordinator. Jumped in the sales side in about 2004 as a wholesale account executive for a wholesale company. And then when the market kind of, did a little downturn there in 07 and 08, I decided to go directly to the consumer. So in March of 2008, I decided to start doing retail. And instead of the brokers and the bankers being my client, I now, they were my competitor. Yeah. So I went straight for the consumer, met a guy named RJ Kylan in 2008. We're still together. We've kind of grown this a little bit. We started out with three of us. We're still all three together. But now we have a couple different branches. We have Scottsdale, Chandler, Glendale, Yuma. I have a girl in Encinitas and one in Temecula.
Oh, wow.
So we're
all over the place.
Look out, California. We're coming for you. So,
and those of you guys that don't know, JD is also an avid sports fan, a Phoenix Suns fan, as I would like to call it. He was at pretty much every one of those Suns playoff games.
Every home game.
Every home game.
I have orange toenails right now.
Yeah. Now, those of you guys that also have watched basketball know the unfortunate end to that story in 2021. We were all pulling for them, but they just didn't put it together.
They didn't deserve it at the end. But I tell you what, it was fun. It was fun. It gave me time to hang out with my son. Even my wife liked hanging out with me during those games. So
everybody's having fun. And hey, no better guy to deserve it other than Giannis to take us down. So
100% agree. We're actually based out of Wisconsin. So,
it was a win-win.
Our CEO used to play basketball for the University of Wisconsin. So if anyone else other than the Suns were going to win, they've got
it. Better be the Bucks.
And Anna's from Wisconsin. So
that is true. My wife is has not failed to mention that multiple times over the last few weeks. Are those the Bucks out there? My home team? Yeah, she's definitely let me hear.
It was a fun series.
Yeah, it was. Now, what an awesome journey. You've done so many different roles. I think that's what's different from you and a lot of other lenders in the industry. A lot of people jump right into the resale of it. They get right into the consumer-facing LO world where they're doing that residential, or they might be doing refis or other things like that. But they're dealing with the consumer directly. You've seen a lot of it, right? You've seen a lot of pieces, a lot of parts, and a lot of hats inside that same world, talking about the processing and all of those things. Where a normal LO, usually they would start probably in the LO process. They've always been right in sales. They jump in sales. So I'm curious, what do you think, what was the hardest role through that, through all those transitions? If you had to choose one that you would never do again, what would that be?
Wow. You know, probably running the call center. You know, that was kind of the entry level for me, but watching the queue, only talking to, you know, angry people wasn't the best, but it was good experience, you know. Teaching the kids on the phone how to come back with those responses that were professional and not taking it to heart. It was a very good entry level. Sales is, of course, my favorite, but I think you hit it on the head. Like, not many people that do what I do, I feel, are as well-rounded as me because they haven't had those hats. Yeah. And I really understand how the mortgage process works from the beginning to the end, to selling the loan, to servicing the loan. So I think it does make me well-rounded. And now that I'm a manager and I'm managing people underneath me and I've had those roles and I respect those roles and I understand, you know, why they're asking for certain things that a normal loan officer, maybe, why do I need that?
Yeah.
Well, because, you know,
of this,
we needed to sell it on the secondary market. And a lot of people don't understand what goes into a mortgage from beginning to end. It's way more complex than a lot of people really understand.
Yeah. And that's part of what we're here talking about today. So if you had to give me a 60-second elevator pitch of the life of a loan, I know it's not possible, but if you had to condense it into a 60-second, 90-second elevator pitch on you get that loan, what is a general process of what, you know, a loan can travel?
So the first part, it really starts with you guys, you know, finding the client, right? Yep. That's the hardest thing. That's why the people closest to the client make the most money.
Yep.
That's the hardest thing. So you find the client. Once you get the client, you have to qualify that client. You have to look at the credit. You have to look at their income. You have to be smart enough to understand what options are available to that client and fit them to a product. Once you do that, you need to know what to ask for the underwriter. You really got to think like an underwriter and really tell the story to your processor, to the underwriter. What is the client? What's the deal? Some things you just can't figure out without knowing the story.
Yep.
Big part of it's telling the story to the underwriter, making sure everybody's on the same page. The loan closes. They get the house. It's not over yet.
Yeah.
Now you have to wrap up that loan and you have to package it, ready to sell to the investor.
So it's almost like you're marketing it. You're trying to make it look pretty.
You have to package that thing, make sure it meets all the guidelines so that when it goes to the investor, whether it's Fannie Mae, Wells Fargo, whoever's buying that mortgage from you, that meets their guidelines. And that's why you'll have a lot of guidelines that you don't want one place to sell a loan.
Yeah.
If something goes wrong, you need a couple different places to go with that thing. Yeah. So that's why the guidelines kind of, you got to make sure it meets those guidelines. It's very important to have those in the package. You don't want an unsellable loan.
So you have a plan B, plan C when it comes to selling those things.
Normally you're selling that note to someone, Fannie, Freddie, Ginnie Mae, whoever, Wells Fargo. And then you have the servicing piece. That's where a lot of consumers get confused. They're like, oh, well, I do a loan with Wells Fargo. They own my mortgage. They own my servicing. No, they're probably turning around and selling that note to Fannie Mae too.
Yeah.
And they're retaining that servicing piece.
Yeah.
So as a lender, you make a decision, are we going to service this loan or are we going to service release this loan? And then you could, you know, sell it to us, the servicing rights to a subservicer who then pays you an SRP.
Yeah.
You make money on releasing that servicing rights to a third party.
Yeah.
So you're selling the note, that's one piece. Now you're selling the servicing rights.
Yeah. So all of that.
I
has
know
to
that
work
was in. More than 60 seconds, but
I mean, it's physically impossible. There's a lot that goes into what that is. And I think, especially as a real estate agent, sometimes we only see one perspective. We see prequal, we see funded, and we're like, oh, we're done. It's game over. But that's why there's so many more moving parts after the fact. I mean, it still goes on for at least another 6 months of play, if you will, after that loan closes.
And think about it. The loan gets bought by Fannie Mae. What's Fannie Mae doing with it? They could be wrapping it into a mortgage-backed security and selling it on the secondary market to investors.
At a high level.
We're talking lots of investors that go into that.
Oh, yeah.
So the road goes on forever.
Yeah.
Keith.
I mean, and it just gets packaged and it just gets crazier and crazier. So— that being said, let's talk about this market that we're in right now. This market's crazy.
Crazy market.
It's different. Those of you guys that are in, you know, real estate and are in that side of things, you know how crazy and competitive it is. It's just as restricting and competitive in the lending world. So tell me, what is this lending world looking like right now?
Well, you know, it's either feast or famine in our business, right?
Yep.
So, you know, with COVID, we all knew last year was going to be a very good year for refis.
Yeah.
We really thought rates were going to be low. We had a possible recession, maybe, you know, small, big, who knows? You know, I listen to a lot of financial guys that are smarter than me, kind of wrap my own head around what's going on, and no one has a crystal ball. COVID hits. Rates are record low. People are stuck at home. They either want to do what? They want a bigger house with a bigger yard.
Or remodel.
I'm working from home and I don't have an office. I'm sick of my husband watching sports. So everybody's looking to do a cash out refi, make their house bigger, fix whatever's wrong with it, or buy a new house. So we saw record volume, both refis and purchases. And I think it was pretty much an outstanding year for everyone involved. Very hard.
Yeah.
I mean, our particular group, we all worked from home. Our offices were shut down and we had a record year working from home. So hats off to all the people behind the scenes that, you know, that made that happen.
Yeah. And it kind of throws me off a little bit because it wasn't exactly what we expected in a weird way.
No.
Like we didn't see that perspective of what being forced to stay at home would cause people to feel and do. We thought of it as there'd be fear in the market. No one would want to do anything. No one would want to move. The
Correct.
World's coming to an end type mentality where everyone kind of closes off, holds their money, prepares for the worst. In fact, it was the opposite. They were at home so long, they got tired of what they had and they wanted more, which was a whole nother, you know, psychosis, if you will, of what this market really brought. And in fact, it created a huge demand push and we saw more people wanting to buy houses than we thought we ever would. So it was like, what a crazy, crazy turn.
It was insane and still is.
Yeah.
You know, it was a perfect storm.
It really, really was. And so now let's talk about those interest rates a little bit because right now where they're currently on, compared to what they've been at over the last year and a half before COVID, theoretically, where are we seeing this market head? Like what direction? Both, you know, the volatility of the market as well as those interest rates, where do you see us heading direction-wise 6 months from now, a year from now, and so forth?
Well, everyone sees rates are eventually going to creep up. They've been saying that for a while, though. You know, we knew rates were going to be low last year and to the beginning of this year, and they started to creep up because everyone's worried about inflation, rightfully so. We've seen a little bit of a rally lately in rates, so we're hovering in the high twos again, low three. So, you know, rates are staying solid. I saw a report the other day that, you know, they think we're hitting to a little bit higher in the threes by the end of the year and, you know, in the next couple of years into the fours. But again, no one has a crystal ball and nothing would surprise me at this point. But
yeah.
I don't think they can go any lower. What I always like is if we can keep some sustainability in the rates, like don't increase overnight. It's not fair for anyone.
Yeah.
It's not fair for you guys who have a prequal that's maybe not valid anymore because rates went up a half overnight.
Yeah.
The clients, it's just tough when there's volatility in rates. So I just hope they gradually increase. I'm not worried about higher rates. We usually get busier when rates get higher, believe it or not. People jump off the fence.
Yeah.
But I do think we see them creeping up in the next couple of years.
And it's something that Pete and I have both talked about in past in past podcasts as well about the fact that as rates climb, we're going to see this market adjust, and it will adjust quite rapidly as they do. It will change the demand. It will help increase supply. It'll help balance out what we've been doing. And I think it's interesting to see how that could affect. But if rates stay strong for the next 3 years, we may see more of what we've seen on kind of a gradual pace for the next few years if things just stay heading in the same direction. And that's something crazy to think about, but
supply and demand,
it's also possible. So the problem is we're not seeing those builders build things fast enough. And as long as rates stay good and demand stays strong, it's not going to really change a lot of people. And a lot of investors are still coming to the market because the rates are so good. And so those are all things to continue to monitor and look at. So with that being said, because a lot of people are curious, like, hey, this seems crazy. This seems familiar. Right.
Oh my gosh, is the market going to crash?
Yeah, that's that common question. And everybody on our that follow us and listen to this channel, they talk to us about the same thing. This is the most common question that we get all the time. So they hear the real estate perspective. We've talked about the builders, what they've done, how it's different. But on the lending side of things, because a lot of people would say you guys are to blame. The lending side of it is what's to blame it's of a fault. Lot of this. It's the lending's fault.
It's our fault.
So that being said, how is this different than 08? What safeguards are still in place to protect something that was of years past?
And we get this question all the time too, Keith, is, you know, I saw this happen in 06, 07, I'm 08. Scared. It's going to happen again.
Yep.
It is a totally different market. When we flash back to 06, 07, 08, we were doing a loan for anyone that had a pulse. I definitely think a couple people even without a pulse. you know, you had Alt-A, which was very creative financing from a lending standpoint of 640 and above. And we're talking up to 4 million. We were doing jumbo. You had the subprime that was going down into as low as your FICO could go.
Yeah.
Interest only. Everything was ARMs because rates were in a higher environment. You had all of the people coming to Arizona were all investors, unlike today where we are doing nothing but full doc.
Yeah.
There's no Alt-A. There's no secondary market hardly other than Fannie, Freddie, Ginnie Mae, your government loans, you know, your conventional government loans. Jumbo is even tougher right now to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very strict. So the loans we're doing right now is A paper, good borrowers, and it's just a total different market. The demand is there like it was in 05, 06, 07, but a total different buyer and a total different lending atmosphere, mm-hmm. 100% different.
Okay, so basically you're seeing a lot more primary residences?
We see a lot more primary residents. We see very good qualified buyers. I mean, back then you had a no-doc loan.
Yeah.
We called it the drug dealer loan.
Huh.
Just as long as you have a good credit score, you don't have to show a job, income, so you assets. You might have had
one credit card and you're like, car payment.
760, it's a good loan.
So it's good.
You had a stated income loan. You stated your income. You proved your assets. You had stated. You stated your income. You stated your assets. Hey, if that doesn't work, we had no ratio. What's no ratio? You know, I mean, there was.
I feel like I need a loan. Can you give me one?
If it doesn't work, just flip the doc type. And that's what a lot of what we were seeing back then. Thank God I was on the wholesale side back then, and I wasn't the one with the client telling him to up his income. So, but I'm sure it was going on. So, totally different now. Nothing but full doc. I mean, we're asking for pay stubs, W-2s. Yeah. We're going to the IRS to make sure the W-2s they gave us are real. We're pulling your tax returns from the IRS. You know, we're verifying everything on your bank statement, all large deposits. It's you're running it through an automated system that's giving you an approval that proves it meets Fannie Freddie guidelines.
Yeah.
Very strict underwriting, but we're doing good loans.
So now you touched on something really important there. So you talked about jumbos struggling a little bit. They're still tough to really get those loans wrapped up, or they're not as easy by any means like they were in the past to be able to get. So what is the lending world looking like right now to start to ease some of that stuff? I mean, I know we see the loan limits start to increase and continue to creep up. almost feels like twice a year almost, it feels like.
They're going to go up next year significantly with the values this year, for sure. We'll probably have a conventional loan at $600,000. Now we're at $548,250. That's a nice big jump for one
10%
year.
10% almost climb. That's pretty large.
And it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where it's at.
So now I did hear this rumor. Now, it could be a rumor. I don't know. I mean, I hear a lot of things. I get a lot of questions. Someone came to me the other day and brought me this
attention.
It's not true.
It's not true, folks.
It could be.
Let's hear this rumor.
So we don't know, but they came to me, and I know Pete and I, we chatted about this. This is kind of like a weird, bold prediction way in the past. We were talking about it. We were too scared to actually predict it.
Predicting.
Could there be a 40-year ARM, a 40-year loan come out here soon?
You know, that's interesting that you bring that up. We had 40-year AMs back in the day, back in 06, 07, 08. Not very big, but some private investors did roll that out.
So like low dollar amount?
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, it was Alt-A program.
Okay.
So, you know, it depended on what the appetite was. You know, it wasn't Fannie, Freddie, Ginnie Mae. You're more like your Morgan Stanley, your Credit Suisse.
Yeah.
Like, whoever wanted to create that product, because then you could create something and still wrap it up and sell it.
Someone's buying it.
And they don't even know what they're buying. And that was part of why, you know, subprime blew up and it created the whole storm. But it's interesting you bring that up, because Ginny Mae, who's the big buyer of government loans, so that would be anything FHA, VA, USDA type of stuff.
Yeah.
They have rolled out, believe it or not, I don't know this is where you got the rumor, but they have rolled out a 40-year AM in regards to their current portfolio that may not perform. So they're going to give that client a chance to modify that mortgage and extend the term of the loan into 40 years to help reduce that payment. So if they're thinking about that on the servicing piece, and then on our side, we're looking at the lack of affordability.
Yeah.
Not just trying to keep that client in the home, but trying to put new clients in new homes.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you could be right.
Yeah. I mean, you look at things that we're seeing, we're talking about, my bold prediction is probably coming true if it hasn't already. And we were talking about a 20% appreciation in the city of Gilbert in the year 2021.
I live in Gilbert.
It's a fantastic city right now. If that rains true. Yeah. Go Gilbert. Right. And we're talking about a 20%, and we may see 25%. Like, that's how crazy that is, you know, and we might blow through that. Now, what that does is it puts a lot of people in the lower price points right out of their entire market. And not just Gilbert, we're seeing that across the board. The greater Phoenix area is one of the strongest market pushes in the country. It's in the top five. It is just flying. And what that does is those debt-to-income ratios, they puts a crunch on a lot of people that now that mortgage is 1800, 1900, and they really can't afford that. So that pullback a little bit of doing a 40-year, what is it going to cut them down? A couple hundred bucks potentially if they're in the lower price points?
Yeah, like a $300,000 mortgage at 3.25, like 200 bucks.
That's significant.
Pretty significant on someone that barely qualifies. So then if you have prices going up, rates going up same time so quickly, like you're saying with values have done, I mean, it's great for our personal homes, but we see what it's doing to our clients looking for homes. It's just not fair.
No, it's tough. They can't get in. But that does change the perspective, because someone that was thinking like, hey, a $1,300 mortgage is too rich, and there's plenty of people I know out there in that same ballpark. I have family included in that same process. And so they look at it and they're like, but an $1,100 mortgage probably would be able to be worked out. Like, we could get that done.
Right.
And there you are. And what that does is it does one of two things. It either allows you to buy the home, like you're saying, or it lets you bump up 25, 50 grand potentially to get the home that you were really wanting but couldn't because of the restriction and price point.
Right. I see the same problem over and over. Prices, rate. We have to find a solution. Yeah. I think, you know,
it's logical.
It's logical.
And it's crazy because it reminds me a little bit of the car industry, because for the longest time, a 60-year or a 60-month loan was like almost unheard of. It was like, man, if you get that, that's money. Like, that's perfect. I don't even see quotes anymore that's not 60. And now they're offering 72 and 86s out there. And you're like, whoa, that's a long time to have a car loan at a high rate of interest, you know, and having that all loaded up front. And I think that's a lot different now, is maybe we're seeing a little bit of that taste in the real estate industry of like, hey, I know 60 month was normal, but now we're looking at that 40 year instead of that 30 year option as something people might be able to play around with.
I think another thing that, you know, could drive that too is if we started doing loans that weren't just backed by Fannie, Freddie, and Ginny Mae. So will there be a new secondary market comeback, a new appetite for loans like a 40-year AM?
Yeah.
Or bring them back interest only? Like, you know, for the right client, you know, an interest only loan is not horrible. It's just you have to understand the vehicle that you're getting in. You have to understand how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah.
Don't bring back the no doc.
Yeah. Hey, I love a good no doc. You know, I love a good no doc. But JD, I appreciate you coming in and joining us for this afternoon. I had the pleasure of not having Pete today. I feel like this was a much more productive podcast than normal.
Hi, Keith.
Hi, how you doing, JD?
Good.
Hi, Pete. We'll see. He might not come back if we keep killing this like this. So we're going to have to get off the air here real soon. So I appreciate you, JD. They can reach out. What can they do to reach out to you? What's the best email to send to you if you have any questions or things like that?
JD@fairwaymc.com.
Perfect. So if you guys have any questions about lending, you want to get a loan, want a great lender to help your next file for one of your clients, JD's awesome. He definitely takes care of his clients and he does a fantastic job, has helped me personally on my homes in the past as well. And, just an awesome, awesome experience. So reach out to him, have him help you, follow him as well. And those of you guys also know Truly, follow us on the KP Elite, for Instagram and YouTube and just continue to subscribe and be a part of it and give us a good review. We'd love to hear your guys' feedback as we continue to grow this channel and just continue to bring you guys some good content and continue to grow it week in and week out. So awesome, guys. We will see you next time.